Welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community. This program is sponsored in part by the Pennsylvania Education Association and the Pennsylvania Education Association Staff Union. Think about that one. The union and their staffers' union. We appreciate their support, that's for sure. Joining us right now from Politico, we've got Dan Diamond. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Dan, when it comes to the Affordable Care Act, where are we with our Republican friends? Can they really just replace it, or is this going to be a repair job? Is it going to be keep the things that people like and change the name and do some other, I'm not saying just simply cosmetic things, but because there's things that needs to be done, but I'm not sure our Republican friends really have the ability to just get rid of it and try and start over.
Charles, I think you're right. It's incredibly easy to campaign against tearing down the law. It's a lot harder when you actually get into power to say, hey, we're going to take this away from millions of folks who depend on it for health care.
Right.
To your question on where we are, it is a little bit of a semantic question based on who you ask and what they're willing to say. You were using a few of the buzzwords. Some Republicans have talked about repairing the ACA. Others have said, we're not repairing it. We're going to replace it. We're going to repeal the whole thing. The current line that Republican leaders will say is, we're doing all these things at the same time. To repair the law, we have to repeal it and replace it. So that actually requires coming up with a replacement plan. Republicans haven't been able to settle on one yet.
When it comes to not, look, I'm fully willing to stipulate that there are just some really ideological things there versus, in practicality, there are some problems with the ACA. When it comes to the average Republican member of the House and the Senate, how many are looking at the simple fact that, look, if we're going to improve this, what do we have to do versus just the ideological, oh, we got to get rid of it because it's not ours? Go ahead.
It's a good question. It depends a lot on which chamber you're talking to. So in the House, where elections are more frequent and many House Republicans have run on their antipathy toward the ACA, their desire to repeal it right away, they are the ones pushing to move as quickly as possible. The Senate Republicans, who are a little bit more protected with their six-year terms, are more moderate here. They are the ones who are increasingly saying, let's take months, let's even take a few years if needed. That's the line of Senator Lamar Alexander, the Tennessee chairman of the Help Committee, who appeared on our Politico podcast and talked about this, that to actually make a replacement law that works, you can't do that in 2 weeks or even 2 months. You probably need maybe the whole year. So House Republicans, there are an especially conservative group, the House Freedom Caucus, that has said, we don't even want to wait for a replacement plan to come together. Let's move as quickly as possible to just knock down the law. And there is some reason, if you believe that the ACA is hurting America, which is a controversial position and based a lot on politics on where you stand, but if you're a dyed-in-the-wool Republican who thinks the ACA is bad, then you probably do want the party to move quickly, because the longer they wait, the harder it gets. The more resistance will emerge. We've seen town halls around the country where folks have come and said to their lawmakers, hey, we don't want this law to go away. We've also seen just other policy priorities come up, and the year will get more and more crowded. There are enough things that Congress has to do that doing ACA repeal, which they don't necessarily have to unless they want to satisfy their voters, that can get increasingly tabled and pushed down the line.
This is very interesting. And, I'll be honest with you. I almost feel badly for our Republican friends out there because they have boxed themselves into a position where I don't believe that they can just get rid of the ACA without having a suitable substitute. And it's going to take them a long time to get the suitable substitute. And for many of their base, They are going to be screaming bloody murder. Why haven't you gotten rid of it yet? So, but
yeah. I think there are two points to that. First, the idea that if you are a Democrat who just got hammered these past number of years around the Affordable Care Act, there is a little bit of a perverse sense of joy watching Republicans now have to deal with all of this. The shoe is on the other foot. We have this podcast here, Politico Pulse Check, where I sit down with leaders on the Democratic side, on the Republican side, and one guest who was in a position of authority under Obama told me off the air, he wishes that the Republicans hadn't won in the election, but there is some pleasure to him in watching now the reality of the situation sink in. At the same time, I think you're getting to the exact right point that to repeal the ACA without a replacement is going to alienate enough people in America, could create a new kind of radicalized group of voters who right now maybe they are more ambivalent on healthcare, but if their insurance is somehow affected or taken away, they could punish Republicans at the polls, and that's what the party is worried about. So there could be more of a practical solution where the ACA mostly stays in place, and around the edges, cosmetically, smaller changes are made, and Republicans sell that as the ACA repair effort, the repeal and replace effort, even if in reality the law has basically just stayed where it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's all in how you sell it, right?
Well, we do have a new president who believes in the art of selling, so perhaps he's the one to make that pitch to the American people, or at least try to.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Dan, how do we find out more about you and what you do for Politico?
What a great opportunity to plug my work, so thank you for that. I write a morning newsletter called Politico Pulse. It comes out at 6 a.m. for subscribers. It's 10 a.m. free for everybody. You can just Google Politico Pulse. You'll be able to sign up for that if you want. And then every week we have interviews with leading figures in politics and policy. That's the Pulse Check podcast. And we have one going up later today on the new person who's been tapped by Trump to lead Medicare and Medicaid and all the challenges that she'll be facing.
There you go. And we appreciate your efforts, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks for reaching out. Always good to hear from you guys.
Thank you. Dan Diamond of Politico Pulse. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.